I have no relationships to disclose. And I do want to thank the other contributors to this project, Dr. Amy Eiler and Sarah Moreland-Russell, who are both at WashU in St. Louis with me, who were incredibly helpful from just the conceptualization of the project all the way to just dissemination phases. So I'm just going to present very briefly about the background. So as we all know, I think transportation-related physical activity or walking or biking for transportation, or what I'll call just active transportation for the rest of my presentation, has really been acknowledged as a convenient and effective mode for individuals to achieve their recommended levels of physical activity. But the Federal Highway Administration has referred to these modes as the forgotten modes of travel. So as land development has spread further apart and as transportation systems have offered fewer attractive and safe alternatives to driving, car use has become the necessity rather than the norm. And so because of that, increasing active transportation has become a national priority. And these are just some developmental objectives from Healthy People 2020. And so the first two there are to increase walking and biking trips. And then the third one there is to increase transportation and travel policies for the built environment that enhance access to availability of physical activity opportunities. And so I think to achieve progress and make in these developmental objectives, it'll really require support and collaboration from both sectors, or sectors outside of public health. And obviously one such sector would be transportation. And I'm gonna talk about one really important organization within the transportation sector called Metropolitan Planning Organizations, or MPOs. And so these organizations are actually federally mandated bodies for urban areas with more than 50,000 residents. And they are made up of representatives from local government and transportation agencies, and they have the authority to allocate and distribute federal transportation dollars, and also plan long and short-term transportation projects in these metropolitan areas. So despite their really important and unique role in active transportation, limited research exists on the policy activities and also the partnerships of these MPOs that impact active transportation, which leads me to my study objective. So this study aims to explore the role of MPOs and their partnerships in supporting active transportation policies. So in order to answer this research question, we worked with six MPOs from California, Missouri, and Tennessee, and those MPOs were just purposively selected, and because this was just a very formative kind of pilot work for the follow-ups, the next study, but our research team developed a semi-structured interview guide that really just aimed to explore the perceived role of MPOs in advancing active transportation policies and also their collaborations that support active transportation policies. And the interview guide was vetted by academic partners and also public health and transportation professionals. And so from there, a sample of key informants of MPO representatives most engaged in these types of policies within their organizations were identified. And what we did was we reached out to the executive directors of the MPOs and asked them of their staff who's most engaged in these types of policies. And because we wanted also the perspective also outside of the MPO, we asked what advocacy organization or advocacy partner was also most engaged in these types of policies that was working with them. And so we continued recruitment until saturation was reached, and the interviews took place either by phone or in person, lasted between 45 and 60 minutes, and all were audio recorded and professionally transcribed. And using in vivo software, all the transcripts were independently coded by at least two project team members using thematic analysis. And so the results, we did 15 semi-structured interviews were conducted with 19 key individuals that represented 13 MPO staff and 6 partners across these 6 MPOs last summer. And so the scope of this particular presentation will only focus on one really salient theme, which was related to the relationships of these MPOs to advance these policies. So here, this is the advocacy partner's perspective of the MPO. And so, most of the advocacy organizations actually shared that their relationships with the MPO was mainly positive, productive, non-adversarial, and really had this important emphasis on aligned and shared goals. And so several of these advocacy organizations talked about they basically kind of parsed it out and talked about some of the long-term opportunities that they've had to collaborate with their MPOs and also the shorter-term opportunities. And so some of those long-term opportunities were each MPO that we talked with, and most MPOs across the country have what's called a bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee, and they're called like BPACs. And so many of the advisory groups that we talked to had representation on these BPACs. And then also representation on these transportation planning committees. So there's a ton of varied committees that differ by MPOs, but a lot of the advocacy groups that we talked to were showing up to these committee meetings. And then some, very few of the advocacy partners that we talked to actually received funds from the MPOs directly. And so that was another way to kind of foster a longer-term relationship with the MPO. And some shorter opportunities for collaborating with the MPO from the advocacy organization partner, was to support the MPO with some of their bike and pedestrian counts, and then also their plans. And so there's often like an individual bike and ped plan that the MPO will develop, and a lot of these advocacy groups were engaged in that process. And because these advocacy organizations also had a lot of skill and a large network in the areas that we were working with, they could really help with some short-term like volunteer recruitment for some of those activities too. So they were really key in that. And I recruited some actors in the audience because I did not want to talk the whole time. And so one representative quote here of just the positive and productive non-adversarial relationship from an advocacy group in Tennessee said this, and I think, yeah.
Okay. So since there's a high degree of trust and a very shared vision, a lot of times, especially in the advocacy world, you feel like the advocates feel like they have to work against the local government or government agencies rather than with them. And I've always felt like we need so much more to be a partner with our local government and MPO because they're really receptive to this specific issue and share the vision that we have.
Thank you. So on the flip side, this is just some sub-themes that came out related to the MPO's perspective of these advocacy groups, their partners. And so one interesting thing that came up is this discussion about some of the overlap in employment that happens between these two organizations. And so sometimes whether it's an MPO member supporting or previously being on a board of the advocacy group or vice versa, that there was a lot of overlap in these types of professionals that were working and also moving to different organizations. So that was interesting. And then also some talked about the broad challenges of partnering with more adversarial groups. One particular participant talked about, this was from the MPO, they were saying that there was a pedestrian group and then a bike group that they collaborate very closely with, and they also mentioned a third more adversarial bike group in their metropolitan area. And they're like, there's a place for that, but we have a hard time partnering with them. And so they just acknowledge that they play a role. And then the perceived strengths of the advocacy partners that the MPOs mentioned were just the regular attendance to their meetings, and then also providing input on their active transportation priorities, and their help in gathering information for the MPO and participating in some of their data collection processes. And then lastly, there is just their participation in some of their policy exercises to determine their funding priorities. Okay. And so this one is probably of interest to a lot of the public health professionals in this room, but the MPOs also shed light on their relationships with different public health groups. And one thing that was very common across all of the interviews with the MPO representatives was when we asked them about this, the public health collaborations were either limited or they were very new. And also it was frequently mentioned, this is the last bullet, but a lot of the collaborations were initiated because of a specific funding initiative. And one in particular referenced the Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiative that provided this funding, helped foster that collaboration. And then some talked also about, well, most actually talked about their attendance or engagement on these, the varied MPO committees that I talked about, those BPACs or their transportation planning committees. And some talked about just the, even the different groups or the, what am I trying to say, just the different public health priorities or the different priorities that public health groups might have. And so whether that's physical activity promotion, like most of us are interested in this room, or air quality improvement or increased public safety, there was just talk about being strategic and aligning public health priorities to what's current priority of the MPO at the time. And then similar to that, there was a handful of participants that talked about just the challenges of engaging with all of the different health departments that may fall within the metropolitan area that the MPO represents. And so they also acknowledged what I spoke to before is just then knowing within those departments who to partner with, because there might be somebody in that public health department that works on physical activity or air quality or public safety. And so there's just a lot of different groups that they were confused by. And so I have a second helper.
I think some of that comes from the fact that there are four counties and two states in our MPO, and we only have one health department that's at the table in a formal way. I would assume that the other counties have their own health departments. There's probably been multiples at least two state health departments, but we're only interacting with really one of those.
Yeah, so that one there I think really highlights just the multiple local health departments. But then also, I think because this one spanned across two states, the MPO spanned across two states, that they also had to engage with two state health departments. And I did want to just talk about, too, this was another theme or relationship that was highlighted, was just the relationship that the MPO has with the State Department of Transportation, or DOT. And so these kind of conversations, they talked a lot about how the MPO supports some state-level plans and vice versa. So whether having MPO representatives on state-level committees that support some of those planning processes and vice versa, that definitely came up. And because state DOTs can sometimes help with the administration of funds towards active transportation, whether that's like a statewide active transportation program, there was a need for a strong collaboration with the state DOTs. And then lastly, some talked about just the challenges of working with like two state health departments, the challenges of working with two state DOTs. And so the this is the second to last group, but the MPO's relationship with the MPO board. The board sets the active transportation policy agenda. This came up, and they talked about really just the importance, and this is the final like decision-making entity. So then backing up, most MPOs have a board, which is made up of usually varied local officials and elected officials, and so they talked about how they're really key and how that composition of that board impacts the agenda. And so whether the political affiliation of the board members or the geographic areas that those board members represent, that really impacts how that board sets the policy agenda. And some talked about how to engage the board in planning processes, active transportation planning processes, to get them to get increased buy-in from the board for these types of policies. But across a lot of the participants' responses was just the common theme related to the lack of support that the board might have towards active transportation policies. And for the sake of time, I'll put that up there for just a sec. But yeah, this just highlights they're the last say. And these are some of the local agencies that MPOs talked about, either supporting or collaborating with, whether those were mayor's offices, neighborhood groups, chambers of commerce's, city engineering, public works, air quality, public transit, and then other planning and commissions and local nonprofits. And so I'll end here. These are just some recommendations that, you know, synthesizing all of this, kind of what I gleaned from it. But I think it's, for public health professionals, really important to show up. There's lots of varied ways to engage with these MPOs. They're such critical organizations. And to show up to their meetings, ask if you can get involved in their committees or boards, and to engage in some of these planning processes is key. And I think if you're earlier on in that collaboration, to really celebrate the successes of the MPO. If they're not further along or where you'd like them to be, acknowledge some of their smaller successes, and then also find those common goals too. I did want to just highlight, if anybody is interested in just this kind of work related to transportation and health, Dr. Amy Eiler and I are working on a special issue on transportation and health in Frontiers in Public Health Journal. So come see me after if you're interested in that. And I'll end there, and I know we're not taking any questions, but I would be, this is an area that is, again, forming the work of my dissertation, and if we don't have questions, I at least love to hear from the audience members about how you're engaging with your MPO, and if you are, what have been some of those successes and challenges, so please tell me about it after. All right, thanks.